Greetings. Let's join Fred Kuhn as he digs for solutions on this issue with our guest.
Welcome, everybody. We have a great show today and a wonderful guest. Our topic is going to be on engaging millennial workers, communications within workforce strata. It's going to be a lot of fun. Here's a thought for you. $450 to $550 billion in annual U.S. losses. Cause? Five generations who aren't communicating under the same roof. And our guest today is Cynthia Corsetti. Cynthia is an executive coach and a speaker, and what a speaker and what a coach. So, Cynthia, welcome to the program.
Hi, Fred. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
That's a big number, $450 to $550 billion. That's a significant erosion of the bottom line, which is something near and dear to my heart. So let's start it. What causes that? What does it take to engage a millennial worker? Why aren't they communicating? Tell all. Let's start with engaging millennial workers.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons, but one in particular is millennials really like to have a purpose in what they do. It has to be bigger than themselves. One of the positions that I had coaching, I was coaching a Pittsburgh-based company who had just acquired a San Francisco-based company. And as their leaders were coming into Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh employees that were here, the senior leadership, were much older, very parochial, very Pittsburgh-based. Our mindset was very different than these young millennials who were coming in from California. And the millennials that were coming in from California would walk away from significant salaries, like huge salaries, if their work-life balance didn't fit, if there didn't seem to be a bigger purpose for them than just going to work and achieving a salary. So when you're working with millennials especially, that's important. There's four pillars that are truly involved in employee engagement, and that's clarity, authenticity, responsibility, and encouragement. And under clarity comes connecting the how and the what with the why. And for millennials, that's really super important.
I guess I'm very interested in why would they disengage and just walk away like that? There must be different drivers that are driving them versus, let's say, Y or Z or Boomer.
Well, they grew up very differently than we did. I'm on the late end of the very, very tail end of the Boomer generation. And the way the millennials have grown up, it's just they had instant access to what they needed. They don't have to be right in front of you. They can get information. Like half of them probably wouldn't even know what a card catalog system is, you know, when we would have to go to the library to research. They had everything accessible to them. So they learned differently. They work in teams very differently. They do things very, very differently. And if they don't feel connected, if they don't feel that there's a purpose to what they're doing, they truly won't be interested. And a lot of these kids, too, grew up with parents, both parents working, and their family time was sacrificed. Like, our generation worked a lot of hours, and I think we can all attest to that. We looked at being at work at 8 in the morning, and if you left work before 5, you were considered a slacker. And so we put in tons and tons of hours. And these are the kids that really suffered from that. These are the kids that recognized, hey, my parents weren't there. I'm not going to do that for my kids. And they put that above all. And I respect it greatly when I see these people that, you know, I don't care if I make tons of money. I care that I'm there for my kids. So it's kind of like an evolution, right? We grew up wanting to do more for our kids than our parents were able to do for us. And inadvertently, we sacrificed some of that time with our kids. And what our kids learned from that is that's not what I want to do. I want to put more time into my kids and into my family. And I'm willing to sacrifice stuff in order to do that.
So let's look at another aspect. If we have a cube, we've looked at the one side, which is millennial. Let's look at another side, the boomer. And what do the boomers and the traditionalists face when they communicate with millennials? What's the biggest challenge there?
I think there's an unconscious bias that we have as parents. And it goes both ways. We unconsciously have a bias where, for example, I was on a flight. I was with a client on a private plane flying between his offices, and it was storming. So there were like four of us on this airplane, and the pilot he looked like he was 12. I mean, he was so young. And as a professional and as an executive, I know that, you know, he was perfectly competent and capable of flying this aircraft through this storm. But when I looked at him, there was this part of me, this parent, this unconscious bias that just wanted to like start correcting him. Like, hey, are you watching the, are you texting while you're flying this plane? Are you sure you got enough sleep last night? You know, I think we tend to unconsciously, I didn't do that, by the way. It was going through my head.
Oh, but it was there in the background.
Yeah. And I think that's what we do. We look at these kids. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed like the Forbes 30 under 30. These kids are freaking phenomenal. They are talented. They are gifted. They are brilliant. And we have a tendency to know that they're also, you know, they don't clean out their cars. They come home late. They, you know, we know all these other things as parents, and it's the same with them looking at us. So they know that when it comes to Instagram, that I'm going to screw it up. So they have this unconscious bias that this professional person standing in front of them at work is as clueless about Instagram as their mom. And therefore that pulls down that credibility factor. And it's false. It's completely false and it's completely unconscious. It's not something that we would ever intentionally do. But I believe it's there, and I believe it affects our ability to truly communicate with across those generations. We have to be very aware of it.
I've talked with other podcast guests, and this seems to be a common theme. The boomer makes an assumption that because that person's texting, they can't be working. And the person who's texting looks at the boomer and says, why are they staying till 6:30 at night? I don't understand that. So there's so many disconnects in terms of expectations and assumptions. And we all know that assume is a three-syllable word, right? So the question that I have then is, again, I go back to what challenges do the boomers face in communicating effectively with the millennials? What can they do to effectively communicate with the millennial?
Well, they need to understand when that millennial is standing in front of them, what all they are bringing to the table. And they need to put themselves as equals. And I think on both sides of that fact, they need to do that. CAD design is a good example. You have a new CAD designer does everything by computer, and the older CAD designers do it, you know, they learned with a pencil. And it's really hard for them to believe that these young people have the knowledge if they didn't learn it the same way they did. But we have to be able to break through that and recognize that they learned differently, but that doesn't make them less qualified. That their assumptions of when you have to be at work, they might not show up at work until 9 o'clock when the boomer might have been there since 7:30. But that doesn't mean that they didn't get up at 5 and hit their emails for 2 hours before hitting the gym, where they went to the gym and listened to a podcast to improve their intelligence and their brain power before they even walked in the door. We can't make those assumptions, and we can't be stuck on that. You have to be at your desk to be working because technology's changed.
Hopefully they'll be listening to Workplace Strategy podcasts.
Absolutely. They'll get that.
Yeah. So if we switch over a little bit, each generation seems to be missing when they look at the other. How can those misses be corrected by corporate HR, by leadership within the corporations?
I like to implement mentoring. We do onboarding, and a lot of organizational HR people will have mentoring as part of their onboarding. They'll bring in a mentor and try to team them up. When you have a lot of generations working together, I like to pair them up generationally because they each bring so much to the table that when they are introduced during onboarding time as the mentor and mentee, even if it's an older person starting and they get a younger millennial as their mentor, I mean, it's awesome. Because they're the ones bringing them into the company, introducing them to the way things are going to go, introducing them to the cultural norms. That's one way that they start, you know, to be able to communicate better. Another way is just basically as communication in general, we all need to learn to improve our communication. Organizational communication as a whole, we don't check for understanding. We don't speak with clarity. We don't formulate our answers before the other person's finished speaking. So we make all these assumptions, and we're not communicating in general, let alone between generations. So it's important that we start to do that. And it's really important that we let go of all the biases that we have. I can tell you that I have young clients that pay me tens of thousands of dollars out of their pocket because they want to be the best leaders that they can be. Whereas the boomers and the older generation, the people that I work with, their companies are paying me. So it's really interesting to see how much these boomers are willing to invest in their future and in their careers. And you've got to respect that.
It's fascinating that the young people would pay someone to help them become a better leader. What does that say about what they're learning in college and their preparation for the workforce and leadership skills in the workforce?
Well, I don't think that you can learn some of the things in college that you can learn by working with a coach. I mean, I work with people very differently. A lot of college professors, first of all, are theoretical, and they're learning the theory, and it's all important, and they're learning spreadsheets, and they're learning MBA stuff. They're learning all of those techniques. But where they're coming in with me, I'll get an email chain with like 30 people copied on it, and it's going down, and you can see the communication breakdown somewhere in the middle there. And by the time that my client sends it to me, they're like, all right, what do I do to get out of this? Or how do I solve this? And I can go through and show them the communication breakdown and where it happened. Those are the skills that they're not getting in college. These are the young people that say, I want to engage my people. I want to be the best leader that I can be. And those are soft skills. Those are learning to understand neuro-linguistic programming. That's learning to understand body language. That's learning to understand so many more aspects of conflict resolution and respecting work relationships. There's so many pieces that are critical to the success of a good leader.
Absolutely.
And kids see it.
You know, I was thinking too, adding on to that list is the behavioral competencies. If you and I think back to, even though we're a different generation, if we think back to our first grade playground, you gravitated toward people that played well with others. And so learning how to do that effectively and communicating effectively within the workforce is absolutely critical to top and bottom line success.
Oh, absolutely.
Because without teams, you have no success.
And I understand that the millennials, a lot of their work, like through school and everything, was in teams. I mean, they learned to work in teams. And they were effective in teams, more so than the boomer generation learned to work in teams. We were more independent and more, you know, self-sufficient.
Yeah, I remember, like you said, I remember sitting in the library, pulling out of the racks and pulling the cards and looking at the index cards. And it was all an alone, one person, you do it yourself, pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of thing. And the millennials are team players. They're just teamers.
And they have so much more at their fingertips. I mean, they have so much more opportunity than a lot of us had. There are jobs these kids can go out and get that I didn't even know existed when I was their age, just because of the internet.
Right. And there's going to be ones you and I can't even describe right now that are going to be in the next 5 to 10 to 15 years. We can't even think what those jobs are yet because they're not invented, but they will be. And there'll be a generation that will come and take those. And this is an ongoing conversation, but our time is up. So, folks, we have spent a wonderful 15 minutes with Cynthia Corsetti, who is an executive leadership coach and speaker. You can see Cynthia's bio on the website under guest biographies. Cynthia, thank you so much for coming today and spending time with us here.
Fred, I thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks very much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.